Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Browns Nation, how is everybody feeling as we get closer and closer after, right now, we're at, what, 11 days and counting without the Cleveland Browns being on the football field. We're getting closer to that journey to Nashville and the set to with the Tennessee Titans coming up on Sunday. Great to have everybody with us. I know you're looking terrific today. I can tell because we're getting closer to the Browns getting back at the football field. I'm Michael Regei. Nathan Zagura will be joining the show a little bit later on. And, of course, our man Matt Wilhelm is here. What's going on, Matty?
I'm doing great, man. And I am so excited and ready for football to be back. You know, you feel now that we're talking and I'm deep and involved with the Cleveland Browns organization doing this show every day, I missed Cleveland Browns football. You know, and I think the fact of the matter is, after what we've seen so far, it's so encouraging. It's almost like a movie where we're on the edge of our seat. We want more. Give us more. Give us more. We want more Crow. We want more Joe Hayden. We want more Kruger. You know, so we got to get our fix. Our fix is now 3 days away.
Want a road win. Like that's what we were talking about yesterday. We're going to get into that because, as we know, all of you in Browns Nation know quite readily, it's something that hasn't been too in play the last 4 years, road wins for the Cleveland Browns. We want your opportunity to dialogue today. A lot of different ways you could do that. Of course, kind of the old school way. You can jump on board at 216-578-0850. And new school, whether you're too school for cool or not, new school, you could do that with us as well. At Michael Regei, at Matt Wilhelm 57, at Nathan Zagura, at Browns underscore daily.
At Browns.
You could do it in just about each and every fashion that you want to. Our coordinated producer, Jason Gibbs, laid out a terrific one today. Show producer, Emmett Golden. We'll hear from Emmett a little bit later on because that's when we'll dive into all of those thoughts that you may have about this Browns trip to Tennessee as we get into some of the Twitter musings of the day. But let's start with our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day, all right? And these are some of the things that we've kind of, you know, we've touched on these things during the course of the first three shows of this week, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. But, Matt, let's start with this. Offensive keys for the Browns to get in the win column on Sunday. That leads off our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day.
My offensive key, and I'm not deviating from the course from what this football team has already, on the path they've already gone down, is run the football. Everything we do is predicated off running the football. The physicality, the mentality that comes with being able to run the football and not being a one-dimensional team, which we'll get to defensively against the Tennessee Titans. But I also do, as we've said, Brian Hoyer's play and the level of that play is predicated off the success of the football, off the running the football. So therefore, running the football against a team that we should be able to run, we've got now three healthy horses in the stable, and we are ready to roll.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that, and we'll find out a little bit more. Today, as we mentioned last week, Thursday, a very, very heavy work day as the Browns get set, and every NFL team, in putting their prep in for their opponent coming up over the weekend. So we'll get a gauge whether or not Ben Tate was a little bit greater go today. He's been limited on Tuesday and Wednesday since the Browns came back. By the way, speaking of Ben Tate, on the show today, you're also going to hear from Brian Hoyer. Now, there's a lot of interesting subject matter that Brian got into, and we're going to hear some of that from the quarterback of the Browns. And this was, most quarterbacks will speak on Wednesday, as Brian did yesterday, after practice later in the afternoon. So we want to bring some of that to you. Jordan Cameron, we'll hear from Jordan Cameron on the show today, as Cameron is still dealing with that that AC joint sprain. They linger, don't they? Sometimes they could be problematic. Cameron told us on Tuesday he's feeling a lot better. Brian Hoyer kind of indicated that Yeah, Jordan Cameron is always going to be a heavy emphasis in the Browns' offense, and let's hope that takes place coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, we can all hope, but yeah, it definitely does that. AC joint, I've struggled with AC joint issues, and so you all out there listening can kind of understand the limitations and what they are. First of all, the first limitation I think is in his head. Is it 100%? Am I able to go up and extend and get that? And if I happen to come down wrong, you know, so is he going to be protected that way? Secondly is, and he's probably seeing that in the weight room now because he's not quite putting him in the situations on the football field against his own colors, but he does on Sundays, is the strength in that shoulder. Is he able to fully extend like a bench press and get to that locked out position, which we'd love to see him control in the defensive end or an outside linebacker in that case? So those two things, one is in his head, getting over that injury and playing, you know, 100% physically and mentally. And secondly, is the physical aspect of being able to extend and get all that strength and power. Otherwise, like he said last week, I'm blocking with one arm.
Yeah, and that's interesting you mentioned that, because on Tuesday there was, with the tight end grouping package, there was a lot. They you know, they worked somewhat on going jumbo and having two and even three tight ends in the set, but it was more a part of positional. And they were really working, you know, coming off, you know, that first block and then getting to that second level and, as you said, locking out. So that'll be interesting with Cameron. Ironically, it was the very first throw of the year in Pittsburgh when Hoyer hit him in the seam for 43 yards, laid it over the back shoulder beautifully. And that's when, though, as Cameron came to the ground, that's when the AC joint again got banged around somewhat.
Sure, and we really do hope that, again, he will be as healthy as he will be all season from this point forward right now. So how we tiptoe and get him ready for this Tennessee Titan football game and taking our show on the road is the healthiest he will be, because he will, you know, he's going to get banged, he's going to get bumped, he's going to fall on it, he's going to reach on it, he's going to get it overextended. All those things will continue to tweak, you know, but if his mind commits to the fact that it's okay and it doesn't need surgery and I can do this, then his performance on the field will be exactly what we thought it would be.
Yeah, no question about that. I had a chance the other day. I, as well as a lot of the media, chatted with Carlos Dansby. I always like, especially early in the week, I like getting Dansby's gauge as to, again, you know, scheme, personnel, everything that goes into a defensive package against a football team. And we're going to get into that a lot today. Matt, we kind of alluded to it the other day. The Browns, and again, we're not numbers driven, you and I especially, but you do look at what Tennessee has not been able to get done on the offensive side of the football so far in their first four games. They're struggling. They're struggling. And is it a day that the Browns defense can certainly come out and make their, you'd have to say, other than a couple of series of downs, like when they got the fourth down stop against the Ravens, can you make a 60-minute statement that you're going to be and you believe you could be one of the premier defenses in the NFL?
I think so, and here's a few reasons why. First of all, we talked about it last week over the bye when we dove into the Tennessee Titans, is they don't have an identity. You know, because they have, you know, the name Jake Locker at the quarterback position, who loves to throw the football, but they'd love to be able to. A Ken Whisenhunt-driven offense likes to run the football as well. So that fact that they can't do that consistently bodes extremely well for Cleveland. And then to speak about the Cleveland Browns is, I didn't think it was, we need to change guys and move this around. Yes, I said Phil Taylor, you know, Tabba Rubin swapping in different packages would be good
to change
up the dynamic a little bit and give one an opportunity to succeed in a spot besides one that they're in a significant portion of the time. But it was guys buying into the tweaks that the coaches put on it. So it's small little tweaks that I think are this defense. And as we've heard from Jim Leonard, you heard it from Dansby, it's guys buying into that system and believing in it, and not reverting back to not old habits, and in some cases for the rookies or young players, bad habits.
Bad habits, sure. Maybe more importantly than the old habits. Again, though, this is the struggles are there for Tennessee. They're averaging 15 points a game. Now, Charlie Whitehurst, quarterback, the one football game, again, expecting Jake Locker to get back this week. But that narrative is there that the Browns can, should, want to have a big day. Forcing turnovers, I think that's something they seem to emphasize this week. Maddie, I'd like to see at least two turnovers forced, you know, whether it's, you know, ripping the ball out and getting it out of a ball carrier's hand, strip sack or a pick. I got to believe there should be at least two turnovers had by this Browns defense this week.
I agree. And, you know, Nathan and I talked about earlier in the week, Jake Locker, he'll throw it to you. You know, he's shown. I think he went, no interceptions against the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's thrown six in the last, two, three ball games.
That's right.
So, he'll throw you the football. I think the fact that this Mike Pettine and his defense, they put emphasis on turning the ball over. And I also, too, just from my past experiences of being a part of different, you know, defenses and different coordinators, is they always have a point of emphasis. You know, one is we must stop the run, or we have to sack the quarterback, or we have to force those turnovers. The great defenses in the league do all three, and they do all three very well. But there's one thing that you have to hang your hat on. Well, we've seen, and we hope that changes, the fact that we can stop the run. You stop the run and make a team one-dimensional, whether it's Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Flacco, or whatever. If we know the ball's in the air, we can call defenses, you know, based around the fact that it's a given that it's going to be in the air. But so the sooner we can get Jake Locker and this team out of that 50-50 and force him to throw the football, you're going to see tip balls, PBUs, sacks, forced fumbles, interceptions. And Michael, what I love about this as a defensive player is those are confidence-building, momentum-swinging plays in a football game. And as we know, our offense is scoring 24-plus points a game. We have 110-plus yards on the ground.
Yeah.
And Brian Hoyer is coming off his best performance as a football player in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
So that bodes extremely well for giving opportunities to an offense that has proven to take them.
Yeah, it does. And terrific points that we'll certainly expand upon today. Points of emphasis from Matt Wilhelm on the Browns' defensive side of the football. So we want your thoughts. We're going to have the roundtable come in today. Doug Deacon, color analyst, Cleveland Browns, PNC Bank Radio Network will be here. Tom Withers from the Associated Press. They'll be in studio in the 2 o'clock hour. Oh, we're just having so much fun. Factor Fiction. Factor Fiction.
It's a busy day for us today.
It is a real busy
day. Great.
Factor Fiction is going to be coming up later on during the show as well. So make sure you lock it right down here with us until 3 o'clock this afternoon. I don't think I've missed anybody or anything that we've got on the menu today. You, of course, are a large part of it. Again, 216-578-0850. And you could tweet at the show in a lot of different ways. @Browns_daily, @MattWilhelm57, @NathanZagura, and @MichaelReguy. A lot of ways to do that. So we've kind of got everything laid out for you. And the best thing about it is that, as we said, we're now finally closing in on getting the orange helmets back on the football field. I think that I'm going to make a statement for all of us. That's going to make everybody feel good and smile. As long as about 3 hours and some change after the opening kickoff, there's a W attached to it. Can the Browns win a football game on the road? Do I need to roll through the anemics of the last 4 years? It's pretty simple. 1-7, 1-7, 1-7. 2011, 12, and 13. 2-6 in 2010. That's not good enough, Matthew.
No, it's not.
That's not good enough.
No,
you're not going to get to where you want to be if you are struggling and faltering that much on the road. So when we get back, we'll kind of get Matt's thoughts on, you know, you hear a lot about 53 got a band together. Got a band together as one. Us against the world mentality. Block out all the noise. Is there more to it than just that, though? How do the Cleveland Browns have to find a way? And shouldn't this be a perfect opportunity in Nashville on Sunday? Let's go. Time to woof it up. Cleveland Browns Daily. We're driven by Liberty Ford. Wilhelm's here. I'm Reguy. Zagura coming up. Cast of thousands. We'll get this baby rolling in a moment. Don't move.